A powerful prayer to start 2024 with God's blessings. Heavenly Father, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the year that has passed. Thank you for your unwavering presence, guiding us through joys and challenges, shaping us into who we are today. As we embark on this new chapter, we place our trust in your providence and grace. Grant us the wisdom to discern your will and the courage to follow where you lead. May this new year be marked by deeper faith, unwavering hope, and boundless love. Help us to set our priorities in alignment with your purposes, seeking first your kingdom and righteousness. Lord, as we step into this new season, we surrender our plans and desires at your feet. May your hand be upon us, guiding our steps, and may your Holy Spirit be our constant companion, comforting us in uncertainties and rejoicing with us in victories. Equip us, Lord, to be beacons of your light in a world that yearns for hope. Let our actions speak of your compassion and our words echo your truth. May we extend grace to those around us and offer love without boundaries. We pray for your blessing upon this new year, that it may be a time of growth, transformation, and renewed dedication to you. May your peace reign in our hearts and in the world at large. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Welcome to...
You're listening to The Wrestling Takeover.
What is your name?
With your host, Jordan Turner, who's always going to keep it real.
Come on, King.
Inside and outside the ring.
Let me make myself clear.
He's got the fans behind him, King.
It's time to take over, King.
Are you ready?
He's all fired up now, King. Takeover.
Let's go.
2024 is almost upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Wrestling Takeover Podcast. Welcome to the last podcast of 2023. How was everybody doing out there, man? I hope you guys have a great Happy New Year tonight. Be safe, you know what I mean? And let's just get into, you know, 2024, man. And just have a positive outlook on life in 2024. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that speech that I put up in the beginning of the pod. I just want everybody to have a great, great year in 2024, me, myself included. I have some things that I want to say towards the end of the podcast regarding what I'm going to be doing in 2024. All I have to say, just a short little snippet of it. I'm going all in on 2024. More details on that towards the end of the podcast. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about World's End AEW. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on that. I'm going to give you guys my internal just quick assessments on the breaking news that happened today. Kevin Dunn is officially leaving the WWE. Praise old God Almighty. WWE is about to take off in 2024. Love it. So we'll talk about that, among other things, in the world of professional wrestling. But again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for tapping in to the Wrestling Takeover Podcast. Undoubtedly, 100% the most creative and honest podcast in the wrestling community, in the wrestling space, in the game, period. And I'm moving up in 2024. Again, I'll get to that later on in the pod. We are going to talk about AEW Full Gear. AEW World's End. And then I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on the Chris Jericho allegations, Mercedes Moné, WWE deal not happening. Bullshit. But we will get to it. I'll give you guys my opinion on where I think she's going to ultimately end up. And just talk money with Mercedes and kind of be ruthless with my opinions regarding all of it, regarding Charlotte and how much money Mercedes Moné really wants to make. We gonna get ruthless in the conversation, man. But if you're just finding the Wrestling Takeover, again, I'm your host, Jordan Turner. I've been doing this pod for almost 4 years now. Going into 2024, this will be 4 years. And I love what I do. My opinions and creativity, my passion is very different from everybody else. And if you guys love a wrestling fan that is honest, direct, blunt, truthful, and very creative, this podcast is definitely for you. And hope you guys stick around because there's more to come in 2024. Be sure to follow me on social media, Twitter at JT Takeover, Instagram at The Wrestling Takeover. We're going to kill it in 2024 over there. And most importantly, TikTok. Again, I will get all that towards the end of the podcast. But let's not waste enough time. Let's get right into the recap of AEW World's End pay-per-view, my opinion on World's End, and on the match results. So we actually seen the 20-man battle royal for the TNT shot title anytime, anywhere. And we've seen Luchasaurus, a.k.a. Killswitch, which he's going by the name now. He won the battle royal. I kind of assumed this was going to happen, to be honest. And I didn't mind it. I thought, you know, the match was what it was. This was kind of built around Adam Copeland and Christian and Killswitch, a.k.a. Luchasaurus. So Luchasaurus got the win there, and that was that. We also seen Eddie Kingston. He got the win in the finals. Hometown kid, hometown king, the Mad King. You know, I mean, he got the dub. He's a Triple Crown champ. That new AEW Continental title design, it's all right. It's all right. You know what I mean? Could be better, but doesn't look terrible in my eyes. He was the right choice here. Let's just be real. I know a lot of people in the space were kind of going crazy on if John Moxley got the win, people would kind of go crazy about it. I love that Tony Khan stayed to his guns there and gave Eddie Kingston the win. He deserved this win. And I hope Eddie Kingston has a tremendous 2024. Maybe go after the AEW World title or the TNT title. We'll see. Should be interesting. Next up, we've seen Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. Now, we've seen Willow Nightingale get the win here. The AEW women's division really needs a shot in the arm, and I think they're going to get that shot in the arm real soon. But this match was kind of funky. It was kind of funky. It was kind of all over the place. They had a lot of botches. Two talented women, though. I feel like this was the first time they ever faced off 1v1, so you kind of expected some botches here and there. Willow Nightingale, I'm a fan of. Love her. She's great. Chris Statlander. Love the kind of throwback to the dodgeball story with her, you know, her ring gear, paying homage to that movie. I like it. So that was cool. Again, this match should have been better than what it was. They actually really should have been on the main card, but they were on the pre-show. On the final hour, pre-show, whatever they call it. Again, the match was kind of all over the place, but at the end of the day, it was good for what it was. Now, we've seen Hook. He got the win. He retained the FTW championship on FTW rules. Now, I will say Hook needs to... They need to do something with Hook in 2024. I felt like that they wanted to push Hook, but I kind of also felt like they thought in their mind that, oh, he's not ready yet. He's got to be ready sooner rather than later. You got to push the kid up. You know what I mean? And I feel like 2024 is his time to, you know, be pushed and be taken as a serious deal because his presentation is great. His whole aura about him, fantastic. Willie Utes is great too. Smash Mouth, he's a great professional wrestler. A little iffy on the microphone, but I think he's going to get better and better as 2024 comes around. So that was, you know, the match was pretty decent there. Next up, we seen, honest, to me, my opinion, kind of the most important thing I was actually looking forward to outside of the devil reveal and outside of MJF versus Samoa Joe. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge, versus Christian Cage. This was a banger. I fuck with this heavy. This was a great match. Edge got the win, though. Edge got the win for a little bit. Shout out to Edge, Adam Copeland, for bringing out the ring gear that you competed in at WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, Illinois, against Mick Foley, one of the greatest hardcore matches in WWE history. That ring gear just put a smile on my face, kind of gave me a little touch and heart moment there, because that was really cool, man. Christian, one of the best in the game, best heel in pro wrestling, my personal opinion. He's in his bag. After we looking back at it in his signing, you know, at face value, we were all kind of like questioning it, like, come on, bro, like, Christian, for real. I want to sincerely apologize to Christian. You are in your bag, sir. I am loving everything you're doing with the daddy persona stuff. Fuck with it, man. What is up with these daddy characters and these mommy characters? I love it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I like it. So that's all that matters. This match was fun all over the place. Adam looked great. Christian looked great. Now, Christian ultimately got the championship back because he cashed in his opportunity that Luchasaurus had. Luchasaurus is working with Christian. So in Christian's eyes, he looked at that as an opportunity to tell Killswitch Luchasaurus that, hey, you need to give me that contract. Let me get that title back from Adam Copeland. And pretty much they pulled a New Year's Revolution 2006. You guys remember where John Cena was in the Elimination Chamber against Carlito, Chris Masters, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels. And he was in that chamber and he ultimately retained the championship. And then after the match, Vince McMahon came out and had the briefcase that Edge, Adam Copeland, gave to him. And then Adam Copeland went in the ring, speared John Cena a couple times, and then won the title. We kind of seen this here. This was kind of like an opportunity Money in the Bank type of sequence here. And I liked it. The booze on Christian. Fuck with it, man. Christian is, and you know, when I look at the whole landscape of pro wrestling and some of my favorite people that, you know, I was liking in pro wrestling this year, Christian Cage is on that list as to the people that really kind of got me excited about this year in pro wrestling, with the character and the personality and stuff like that, his mannerisms. Christian was, you know, top of his game when it comes to people that I was just genuinely excited to always see cut a promo and be in a match. Christian was on his A game this year, and hopefully it rebounds into 2024. Swerve Strickland. I love Goldust. I have tremendous amount of respect for him. But let me tell you something. If you don't like what I have to say, just go watch somebody else. Go listen to someone else. I don't sugarcoat shit. That's not what I do. I say what I say and I mean what I say. And I mean it. So everything I say on this show, I genuinely mean it. So what I'm about to say, I mean it. Goldust, Face and Swerve, was a fucking AEW Dynamite match. This was a TV match on a pay-per-view. I don't know what's going on with Keith Lee, man. He looks like he's in a lot of pain. Food poisoning. It ain't looking too good. It ain't looking too good for Keith Lee. Hopefully, you know, yeah, man, I don't know. Because I feel like, in my honest opinion, his AEW run's been a failure, man. I'm just going to keep it 100 with y'all. I'm going to keep it gangster with y'all. You could take it what you will. That's fine. That's your opinion. But I'm just giving you my opinion. Keith Lee's run in AEW has been a disappointment. Not his fault because he's been injured a lot. But again, it's mostly Tony Khan's fault because he just didn't know what to do with him. Fact. So that's that. It just, this match should not have happened on the show because it was pointless. It didn't do anything. Swerve will definitely be AEW World Champion, I believe, in 2024. He will be the first Black African-American World Champion. And that will be a big deal for a lot of us African-American wrestling fans out there. It's going to be big. Andrade, El Idolo. I'll see you in WWE, man. Can't wait. Can't wait. I'll get to the WWE part in a little bit. But he went one-on-one with Miro. This match was good, man. This match was good. I enjoyed it. Had a blast watching it. Miro's a fucking beast. Miro's a beast, a destroyer. His character, we need to see more of that in 2024. They kind of fell off on it for a little bit this year. But CJ coming in, Miro's going to be a dominant force in his game. And the Redeemer character, we need more of that in 2024. And he can even challenge for the world title. I'm dead ass. There's a lot of people that can challenge for the world title in 2024 with Samoa Joe as champion. So that was a good match. Andrade is going to go back to the WWE with his wife. And hopefully in better creative. Now, Andrade, he's going back to WWE. This is great. This is great news. He's rumored to be the name, the surprise name, that will be returning tomorrow on Monday Night Raw. Great. I'm praying that Andrade is in the storyline with LWO. Period. Rey, Dominic. Right? Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza. Santos Escobar. Andrade. Come on, bro. Dragon Lee. Triple H is cooking, bro. He's cooking that Latina special, bro. I fucking love it. I love that we're seeing a lot of the Latino wrestlers being booked in high-profile positions. It's about damn fucking time. You've been laying on Rey Mysterio for so long. I get it. I understand it. But guess what? You had it in Andrade. Fuck Vince. Fuck him. He fucked that up. Heavy. The shit with Zelina Vega and Andrade, that shit was money. That shit was gold. Guess what? We're about to get it back. We're getting it back. Love it. The feud with Andrade and Santos. Andrade, the babyface. Santos, the heel. I fuck with it, bro. I vibe with it. The story's there. Santos, turn it on Rey. We're going to get that climax. And then Andrade's going to come in here. Like, bro, try to take my spot as a top Latino star. Like, bro, nah, nigga, that's not happening. And then right there, Andrade, Santos, money. I love it, man. WWE ain't playing around, bro, I'm telling you. So that's going to be fun, man. That's going to be great. Couple of things that happened on this show. We've seen Toni Storm defeat Riho to retain the AEW World Women's Championship. Toni Storm is absolutely carrying the AEW's women's division. I think they need a certain Monet in the division desperately. Desperately. I don't want to speak too much on her because I have my own little section of news on her and stuff, but they need her desperately because Toni Storm can't just lead the division alone by herself. There's nothing going on in the women's division, point blank, period. You got Sky Blue's transformation. That's great. Thunder Rosa just came back. So we're going to have to wait and see what she does. You have credible pieces in the women's division, man. You really do. And you know who's on top of that list? Outside of Toni Storm, Julia Hart. Let me give Julia Hart her flowers, man. Standing ovation for Julia Hart because she's killing it right now. Julia Hart is doing a magnificent job. And her presentation, and I'm just talking in professional wrestling in general. I'm not talking just strictly AEW. I'm talking pro wrestling in general. Julia Hart has the best one of the best presentations in not only AEW, but in professional wrestling. The one that tops it is the House of Black presentation, which she is involved in. So that goes hand in hand. Julia Hart's going to be a pillar. Julia Hart is a beast. She's getting better and better. The character work is French Kiss. One of my favorite characters in all of professional wrestling. She's in her bag. She's going to get better. I wonder if she's going to eventually start talking on the microphone. Hopefully she's good on the microphone. She's going to get better in the ring. Julia Hart is going to be a future pillar. And I think 2024 is going to be a tremendous year for Julia Hart in the AEW women's division. And she needs to be in a high profile position. This is going to be a real podcast. This whole section right now is all on AEW. And then I'm going to eventually get to the WWE portion towards the end of the podcast and talk about them leading into 2024. It's going to be a separate pod. AEW focus, and then the second half is going to be all WWE focus. We had the devil reveal. Great. You know, it's funny to me, man. It's funny to me. I'm not a big name. I'm going to be in 2024. Trust me. You know, I have been saying on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, and on my podcast that the devil is Adam Cole. A lot of people, is it Adam Cole? Is it not Adam Cole? I don't know. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. Y'all know it's Adam Cole. Y'all knew it was Adam Cole. It was Bay Bay. At the end of the day, it was Adam Cole. Perfect. The reveal. Perfect. The emotion from MJF crying. Perfect. MJF being the Stone Cold Steve Austin babyface of AEW. Perfect. Come on, bro. I mean, they got their superstar in MJF, man, and it's going to be amazing when he comes back. He's injured right now. So for the people that don't know, MJF is battling a lot of injuries right now. So he's going to take some time off. Hopefully he doesn't take too much time off. Maybe like 2 to 3 months. That's perfect enough. And then he'll come back maybe around Revolution time. He comes back. I really hope. I'm just going to get this out the way right now. I really hope and pray that AEW does not rush an Adam Cole versus MJF match at Revolution. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. I'm going to tell Tony Khan that right now. Tony, listen. I fantasy book and I'm damn good at it. Wembley. If I'm going to get to a part where I start getting really, it's not disrespectful. It's more of a harsh love, truth, reality of AEW. I'm going to get to that in a second. And I got to admit stuff as well too with AEW. But with this portion right now, with what I'm about to tell you, you need to do it. You need to do it. Wembley 2024. I mentioned this immediately out of the fucking gate. As soon as MJF versus Adam Cole's match was over, one of the best matches of the year, no question. I said we need round two in Wembley next year. And as soon as they announced 2024 Wembley Stadium, we're going back to it. I said, perfect. MJF, Adam Cole, 2. By then, Adam Cole, AEW World Champion. MJF, the biggest babyface in AEW's history. He'll get the title back. If I'm AEW, Tony, listen. Please, listen to me. Your people, listen to me. I don't say things just to say things just to get a pop out of people and get a reaction out of people. I don't try to be quote-unquote creative and smart and, you know, oh my God, you think you're the most creative person in the wrestling space. Nah, motherfucker, I know I am. Tell me when I'm telling lies. Come on, bro. I know how good I am. Listen. You gotta book the top tier matches around Wembley time, and I understand plans can change. I understand that. I don't want people coming down my throat and be like, well, Jordan, you don't know that plans can change. I'm telling you that. I know that plans can change. But I'm thinking long term here. And if everything goes AEW's way, I mean, Wembley can be, Wembley in 2024 can be one of the biggest wrestling shows, I mean, in AEW's history. These are the matches that I would book if I'm AEW, and I'm already planning it out. I'm just going to get her out of the way right now. Again, I'm going to get to her in a second. Mercedes Moné. Everything right now is leaning toward her going to AEW. All right? Can you picture Mercedes Moné coming into AEW immediately out of the gate? Number one contender. You know, you got to go up. Nah, motherfucker. Fuck that shit. Fuck that. Oh, you got to go up the ladder. Nah, no, bro. No. You signed Mercedes as a saving grace for your women's division. You keep mentioning it. Toni Storm mentioned her. You keep mentioning it. Now, Philly, you want her. I want her over there. I want her wherever she goes. I don't give a damn where she goes. All the signs are pointing her to go to AEW. Cool. I fuck with it. I vibe with it. I'm telling you right now, when Wembley Stadium, the women's championship match needs to involve Mercedes Moné being the champion. She dethrones Toni Storm and goes into Wembley Stadium in 2024. And she goes one-on-one with Jamie Hayter. Come on, bro. Jamie Hayter going one-on-one with Mercedes Moné. Jamie Hayter will feud with Britt Baker before then. Get that out of the way. That'll kind of be like a number one contenders match. Rivalry. Okay, you one of them need a win to get to Mercedes. Jamie Hayter gets that win. Jamie Hayter, Mercedes Moné, Wembley Stadium, 2024, AEW for the Women's Championship. And if you build it up as big as you want to, that can actually main event the show, but we know. I mean, if I'm booking things, that's not main event in the show, but you can build it up as if you are wanting to have that be in the main event. So Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter for the AEW Women's Championship in Wembley Stadium 2024. Adam Cole will be the champion going into Wembley Stadium in 2024. He will be going one-on-one round two with MJF. Fact. It's got to happen. Period. Long-term booking. Adam Cole just got revealed as the devil. You need to write it in pen, Tony. I don't give a fuck, bro. I know plans can change. People might get injured. People might want to leave the company. You better protect MJF and Adam Cole. I'm telling you now. MJF, Adam Cole, round two, Wembley Stadium for the AEW World Championship. MJF successfully gets his championship back as one of the biggest baby faces in AEW history and one of the biggest baby faces in professional wrestling in like a decade or so. Those are two matches right there. I'm not done yet. I got one more. I might actually have another one. The other one depends on if that individual is going to come in. Kenny Omega. I know he's going through stuff, and I'm sending my hearts and my prayers to Kenny Omega, hoping for a speedy recovery. Love you, man. I'm a big, you know, supporter of you and for you and other people, you know, joining together to create AEW. Much love and respect to you, man. Hopefully you come back better than ever. We're going to need that round three with Will Ospreay, though. You feel me? Let's keep it at 100. Let's keep it with it. We need that round three with Will Ospreay. I'm going to tell you something right now on point. I am not kidding. I'm not saying this to be cool. I'm giving you my opinion. If we were talking face to face, I would say what I'm about to say to you guys face to face. Wrestle Kingdom. Round one with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. Beautiful. Masterpiece. French kiss. Round two. Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door 2. I'm not kidding. Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door 2. Round 2 is on the same level of just... It meant a lot. That match meant a lot to me. I'm putting it on the level of Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. Sue me. Sue me. That's where I stand on it. That's my opinion. I will never forget that match. There's a lot of wrestling matches, honestly, that like it feels home to me. Like I really, you know, feel comfort in those matches. I always go back and watch all these type of matches. I don't want to name all of them, but Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay round two is definitely one of the on the list. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, WrestleMania 25 is up there. Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 21 is up there. There's so many other matches that like just I feel it. Dustin Rhodes versus Cody Rhodes at a Double or Nothing all those years ago. I mean, that, you know, I feel it, man. You know what I mean? I get the chills every time I watch those matches all the time. But what I'm trying to say is if we get a trilogy round three with Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega, it needs to number one be in Wembley in 2024. And number two, it needs to be in an Iron Man match. In an Iron Man match. That's what you need to do. Period. And I stand on that. We'll see what happens. Those are the matches that I would do in Wembley in 2024. Immediately. Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega. Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter. And MJF versus Adam Cole. Round two. If I had another match that I would do. I would do... Jay White would have won the TNT Championship by then. I'm doing Jay White going one-on-one with Kazuchika Okada. Because I'm assuming Okada signing with AEW. Okay? If I'm wrong and he goes to WWE, I'm going to lose it. But with the way his style is and the way AEW is kind of the United States version of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I've been saying that forever now. I think Okada is going to, if he ends up eventually leaving Japan. Now, there's a chance he can stay in Japan. There's a chance. If he actually goes to the United States and he chooses between WWE and AEW, I think he's going to go to AEW because he's comfort in the style that they do. It's pretty similar to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Again, they're the United States version of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Okada versus Jay White for the TNT Championship. Those are the matches that I would do if I were Tony Khan at Wembley Stadium in 2024. Let me know what you guys think about that. Let me know. So, oh boy. I'm going to briefly talk about the Chris Jericho stuff. I have an audio clip. I have a couple audio clips on it. I have two. And then I got a tweet. And then we're going to get to Mercedes Moné. Potentially going to AEW because I'm going to be as frank and blunt and I'm going to talk pretty slow so Tony Khan can hear me and people in AEW can hear me. Because everything right now is leaning to her going to AEW. We never know, though. Anything is possible. But the Chris Jericho shit. Innocent until proven guilty, number one. All right? So I'm going to play a clip with... what's it called? People talking about Chris Jericho. And I think the guy that was talking about Chris Jericho, a lot of people hate this dude. Forgot the dude's name. Whatever. I'm going to play the audio clip regarding the situation regarding Chris Jericho.
Power, it's very important to use that responsibly. And I just, you know, there are issues with Chris.
Let me go back. Nick Houseman, I forgot. So that's his name, Nick Houseman. But I'm going to start from the beginning.
Jericho part of it, for a lot of reasons, stood out to me. You know, one of the things that, you know, is so disconcerting to me about kind of the universal praise of Jericho, and I'm not going to deny the points that Max made about, you know, the impact Chris had in the early days of AEW. But when you have that kind of clout and you have that kind of power, it's very important to use that responsibly. And I just, you know, there are issues with Chris behind the scenes where I know of a lot of people who have been hurt by Chris and his actions. And, you know, it's very uncomfortable to me to see him lauded as often as he is with only the focus on that, because I do think that there's a lot of questionable stories about Chris that will find their way out over time. And when people are ready to tell those stories, that will cast him in a very different light. I mean, look, Harvey Weinstein won a lot of Oscars. Harvey Weinstein produced a lot of very popular films. Harvey Weinstein is now in jail. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Chris, but your narrative can very quickly turn.
Chris Jericho being compared to Harvey Weinstein. Wow. That's not a good look. The Kylie Rae and Chris Jericho situation will be one to follow as more details become available. Yeah, everybody needs to respect Kylie Rae's wishes. Again, man. This is going to go either way, okay? I want to read a tweet from Jobber Nation TV on Twitter, at Jobber Nation on TV. They put out, when the Velveteen Dream got accused, the IWC wanted him fired before he was proven guilty. Well, he was proven guilty, so I'm not discrediting that. He was proven guilty. Fuck him. When Vince McMahon was accused, the IWC wanted him gone ASAP before he was proven guilty. That is true. I'm going to move on with the Vince McMahon stuff, bro. Yet, when Chris Jericho is being accused, the IWC is trying to make it about WWE or saying nothing has been proven yet. What's the difference? Where's the outrage for Jericho? I've always said innocent until proven guilty, but got bashed by the IWC hypocrites. Vince is guilty, number one. Okay, so I'm going to let that go. Number two. Innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, motherfucker. Innocent until proven guilty. Do you know what happened with Chris Jericho? I'm talking about the people. I'm talking to everybody, pretty much. Do y'all know what happened with Kylie Rae and Chris Jericho? Were you there? Because I wasn't there. If you were there, please let me know. Oh, wait. You can't. Because you weren't there. Innocent until proven guilty. We don't know what happened. The allegations are fucking disgusting. So, yeah, we know that. That it was, nah, bro. I'm not with that shit at all, nigga. Like, nah, bro. So, Chris Jericho, you better hope you're not proven guilty, man. I'm telling you right now. And I'm going to play this clip, man. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyways, of Tony Khan kind of gives his thoughts, quote unquote, on Chris Jericho and people bashing him from his response, but I'm going to play the clip here.
Of safety and harassment, specifically involving women wrestlers.
This is Tony Khan asked about sexual harassment during the AEW Worlds in media scrum.
You know, without getting too much into the details, or some people may not want their names mentioned, but there have been a lot of conversations, and there's real concern from wrestlers, from fans, from media alike, you know, about the safety of wrestlers behind the scenes. So, like, what has been done specifically to combat, to prevent issues like sexual harassment in the AEW locker room, both, you know, in the past and going forward? Because this is something that should always be looked at. I think it's very important.
It's a great question, Kevin, and I think it applies to everybody in the whole company, women and men, and it's something we're very serious about, and we've had a policy in place, and certainly I think any time there's anything like that, we would make sure we do everything we can to prevent it. AEW has the best safety record, I believe, of any pro wrestling company in the world.
Wrong! Wrong! Tony, come on, bro. I'm imagining there's a camera right now, and I have the microphone, and I'm looking into the camera, and I'm going to take the quotes of the head of the table, the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. You're lying. Tony, you're fucking lying, bro. Stop. Safe? Come on, bro. People get hurt all the time. I'm sorry, I gotta say this, man. I love Strong Style. Listen, you're taking what New Japan's doing, and you're putting on a United States, type of country here with the Strong Style stuff. I get it. But bro, people are getting hurt. You have unnecessary spots that don't need to happen on Dynamite. They should happen on pay-per-view and not fucking Dynamite. Fact. People are always getting hurt. People are always getting hurt in AEW. So how dare you go out and say confidently, yeah, AEW has the best the best medical team and is really good at, you know, safety for pro wrestlers. Come on, bro. You're lying. You might think that, but the results have shown that if you were, quote unquote, safe, you would go out and tell these wrestlers, stop fucking doing what you're doing. You're killing your bodies. You don't need to do that shit. But you don't do that. Continue on.
I believe we have the most safe environment. I believe we have the best.
No, you don't.
Safety record of any pro wrestling company.
Safety record, my nigga. Are you fucking for real? No, you don't. God damn it, bro. I don't want to scream and shit, but this shit pissed me off. No, you don't. You don't.
I would hold the record of AEW on safety against.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You must be high. You got that. You drinking that coffee. You got that fucking wig on and you got glasses on. Come on, bro. I love you, Tony Khan. I would love to work for you. And, you know, I want the best for AEW, man. I really do. I really, really do. I got to repeat it again. I really do, because I know there are going to be people that think I'm lying, and I'm not lying. I love AEW. I want them to succeed. But right now, they're sucking ass right now. Period. Tony, you're lying, man, but whatever.
Any wrestling company in the world, and I think AEW is the safest place for pro wrestling.
I can't believe it when he said that, bro. I can't.
And if any of our wrestlers ever have a concern, they always have an open line to talk to me, and
I do like that he has that open door policy. I like that.
I believe anybody would sit here and tell you they always can talk to me anytime they are concerned about anything. Well, certainly, if there was anything that came to light to me, I would take it to the disciplinary committee. And
this guy looks like a joke, bro, with the fucking wig on. Nigga, come on, bro. Disciplinary committee, okay? Again, innocent until proven guilty. We don't know what happened, bro. We don't know what happened. People are telling that, you know, in the community that Tony Khan knows exactly what happened. He's just using this as a cover-up to protect Chris Jericho. What's in the dark is always going to come to the light.
You know, that's how we've been doing it. And I think our disciplinary committee has been doing a great job. And everybody knows they have an open line to me or any.
Okay, that's it. I love Tony Khan. But come on, bro. All right. I want to talk about Mercedes Moné. This is Sean Ross Sapp giving his opinion on Mercedes Moné.
The agreement contract is already signed. No. No. Walked away from conversations. No. No funny little wordplay bullshit. Nothing like that. If you're guessing, where do you think Mercedes shows up? Do you think AEW has any debuts on deck? I would expect her to be in AEW.
I would too, Sean. I do too, man. Shout out to Sean Ross Sapp. One of the best in the community, man. Much love to him and everyone over there at FIFO.
That's what I'm expecting. I think it'll happen sooner than later.
Sooner than later, huh? 2024? January? We'll see. First episode of AEW Dynamite in 2024? Okay. Let's see.
That's what I'm personally expecting.
Bam. Personally. So he's just giving his opinion. Don't go and attack him. He's giving his opinion on it. I'm about to give you my opinion on it. Tony Khan. I have no news anymore to talk about. None of that. I'm going to say this is as slow, nicely, respectful as I can. If the plan is for Mercedes Moné to come into AEW in 2024, I'm going to be happy for her. I'm going to be happy for the women's division. Because they finally have somebody who's going to carry that division on her back. What formidable players surrounding the superstar. You're paying her whatever the fuck you're going to pay her. Period. Tony Khan knows that. Mercedes Moné wants the bag. And my girl's going to get whatever bag she's requesting. Period. Tony Khan. There is pressure on you, my man, in 2024 with AEW in general. But I ain't talking about in general. I'm talking specifically the women's division and Mercedes Moné. Listen to me very carefully, Tony Khan. Listen to me carefully, rest of the management and creative in AEW. Listen to me, women's division. But this one is specifically towards Tony Khan. I'm telling you right now, if Mercedes Moné goes to AEW and you book her like shit, I'm fucking done. You don't have a megastar, generational, one of the goats. And you bring her in and you book her well for a little bit. And then you get bored. Nah, we ain't playing that game. You got the game fucked up, bruh. got it fucked up. I'm telling you now. Mercedes Moné comes in, she's going to make a fucking immediate splash. Fact. Social media going to go crazy. Fact. But we're all going to be concerned. You see, because we got track records, bro. The women's division has not been booked well at all. Fact. So you're telling me it's going to have to take someone like Mercedes Moné. Love you, girl. It's going to have to take her to want to finally book the women's division well. You got the game fucked up, bro. That should not have taken you somebody of a stature of Mercedes Moné to be coming into AEW to finally say in your head, okay, guys, we're going to finally book the women's division properly because we can't fuck it up because Mercedes Moné's here. Nah, motherfucker, you should have booked the women's division right in the first place. I'm telling you right now, man. You're going to book her right for a little bit. Crowd's going to go crazy. It's going to be popping. You feel me? It's going to be great. Trust. Big trust. But I'm telling you now, as the months roll on and the women's division is just decreasing and decreasing and decreasing, no character development, no long-term storylines, no longer matches, and you book the women's division like shit, while you have Mercedes Moné on your roster, this ain't no just random. This ain't no random, bro. I want you to understand who we talking about, bro. And you book her like shit? Tony Khan, bro, you're going to lose a lot of fans. I'm telling you. And that Mercedes Moné fan base is one of the most scariest fan bases you can ever encounter. Fact. And I'm in there. I'm telling you, bro. There's pressure. There's pressure with this TV deal stuff. But I'm telling you, there's going to even be more pressure on you if you bring Mercedes Moné in and you still book the women's division like shit. Yeah, like Gina Waters said in Martin. Not for real, Martin. I ain't playing. Not Martin for play. I don't know. I'm going to use the same verbiage with Tony Khan. No, TK. I ain't playing. Then you're going to say, no, seriously, like, what's going on? And I'm going to look at you. I'm going to be like, hey, yo, Tony Khan. No, for real, no play, bro. I'm not kidding. This is a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent, and you still don't know how to book her? And you still don't know how to book the women's division? Fuck not booking her. The division? You need to get rid of the women's division. That's obviously not going to happen, but, I mean, come on, man. We on that type of level. I'm telling you, TK. I love you, man. I love AEW. I got my beanie right now, bro. I'm looking at it. I love AEW. I got my shirt in the closet. Love AEW. But that alone is going to be pressure. And you better do a good job at it if the plan is for her to come into AEW. Now, speaking of AEW just in general, have I fallen out of love for AEW? No. Do I watch it as much as I usually do? No. Because I got a life. Even though I'm trying to make this wrestling thing a legit thing, but I got a life. Can't watch everything. I'm going to try to really watch as much as I can in 2024 with AEW. Because this is a make or break year. For real. They're not going to die, but it's a make or break year. For sure. AEW needs to bring in the horses. They got to bring them the best people possible. You got a great roster. Go get Okada. Go get Mercedes. Put hands on deck in 2024. Because there's people falling off on AEW right now, and they go into the other area, which I will talk about in a second. I want AEW to succeed. Tony Khan, you need to hire writers that know what they're talking about and that have good creative ideas. I would love to write for you. I really would love to write for you, Tony Khan. I'm a fan. I'm critical. That's not changing, baby. That's not changing. I'd rather have someone being real and honest, authentic, than bullshit and say everything's great and sunshines and rainbows when it's not. That's not me. That's not how I'm wired. You want the truth? You come here. You want the creativity? You come here. You want the passion? You want the knowledge? Bring your ass here. Trust. I'm act the same way as I did this year with AEW into next year. I hope it's a rebound year for AEW because there's a lot on the fucking line. Fact. That's my piece on AEW. I love you guys over there, man. I just want you guys to do well. And if you bring in Mercedes Moné, just do the right thing. Now, let's talk about a company that is it's making bank right now, popping bottles. I mean, the king is really about to take over. Triple H, this man's going to have a... I'm telling y'all, bro. I'm telling y'all right now. Watch out for WWE in 24. Watch out for WWE in 2024, man. They are going to absolutely go crazy in that year. WWE and Stardom are having some sort of partnership. That's insane. Never thought that would happen. That's great stuff. Kevin Dunn, man. Kevin Dunn's leaving WWE. This is amazing news. This warmed my heart. Kevin Dunn, see you later, man. Deuces. Poof, poof. Be gone. Who's going to take over that spot, though? Borash? Jeremy Borash? Maybe he's close to Triple H. That could work. Somebody else that Triple H might choose from can run it. Triple H really is in charge. I'm going to make that perfectly clear right now. Triple H is really in charge. Kevin Dunn is gone. Vince is gone. This is a new era in WWE. And I'm telling you now, 2024, if everything goes well and plans are in place, 2024 is going to be the greatest year in WWE history. With the international shows, with the popularity, with the merchandise, the TV network, you know, the money, the social media retention. WWE is insane right now. You know, there's a part of me that still wants Mercedes Moné to go back to WWE. But at this point, again, I don't give a fuck where she goes. She can go to TNA. She can go to WWE back. She can go to AEW. I just want to see her. There is a slim shot that she could return to WWE. And all these innuendo news and rumors were all bullshit. And she pretty much played everyone. And they pretty much pulled a CM Punk. Got a deal done last minute. That is possible. So I'm not ruling out her returning back to the WWE. Everything in WWE right now is just doing some great things. And they're going to have a great 2024. They really, really are. This was more about AEW, though, tonight on the podcast. It's kind of hard to assess what WWE's going to do. Because I want to talk about more of WWE and everything that happens as we lead into 2024 and the Royal Rumble and stuff like that and WrestleMania. We got the Day One show on Monday Night Raw tomorrow. Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Ivy Nile, Rhea Ripley. It's going to be a good show. I can't wait. I do see Seth Rollins retaining. I see Rhea Ripley retaining. I see Rhea Ripley and Seth Rollins going into WrestleMania as their respective champions. That's what I think is going to happen. I love the theme shows. Triple H listened to me. He listened to a lot of us. We all want to theme shows that you build them up as if you're building a pay-per-view. That's exactly what Triple H did. I love it, man. Triple H is going to make WWE great again. Endeavor is all in on WWE. Some good times in WWE right now. Everything in WWE right now is sunshines and rainbows. But Vince McMahon's always creeping. Always creeping. So, stay tapped to that, man. You never know. I'm just throwing it out there. But I hope everybody enjoyed this last podcast of the year. Now, I want to get to my little announcements. 2024, the Wrestling Takeover is officially going to YouTube. Thank you. Thank you. I will be debuting on YouTube in 2024, early 2024. That's all I will say. You guys will be getting... I actually wrote my little lineup here for YouTube. So you guys are going to get up and downs on Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, AEW, news reports, all the latest news and rumors, AEW pay-per-views, WWE pay-per-views, maybe TNA. We'll see what happens. But those are... the lineup schedules for YouTube. You'll get a couple fantasy bookings here and there. I might make a little series of that too. Pop out a couple of those here and there. Breaking news, everything. So I will be debuting officially on YouTube in early 2024. I'm taking the Wrestling Takeover to YouTube. And we're going to see what's popping with it, man. I think the audience is going to keep growing and growing and growing. I'm going to try to continue to still do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, you know, the whole nine yards. But the main platform is going to be on YouTube specifically. As for Twitch, or not Twitch, I'm sorry, TikTok. I'm going to start be doing more live on TikTok. My audience on TikTok has been incredible this year. I love you guys so much. In 2024, we're going all in. We are going all in on this pro wrestling shit in 2024. Best believe that. All right? I'm going all in, bro. I'm going to make waves. I'm going to get, you know, advertisers hopefully on my show and start making some real bread. Everything goes well. Merchandise, potentially. I have plans in the pipeline. So we'll see what happens. A new logo's in the works as well for the Wrestling Takeover. So we're popping. I got everything planned out strategically. I'm not going to pop out everything at once. I'm going to take it one step at a time. But yes, I will be debuting officially on YouTube in early 2024. And it will be audio based. You will not be seeing my face as of now. All right, I will get to that. Maybe down the line again. I want to take one thing at a time. I don't want to rush everything right now. But YouTube in 2024, more lives on TikTok, more posts on TikTok. Obviously, Twitter and Instagram is going to keep growing. And we're taking over, man, for real. I want this dream to become a reality. I am not writing for DiscussPW.com anymore. And I'm moving on. I am wanting to hopefully write for Bleacher Report or ESPN or another big publication that I could eventually get paid for. So I'm going to kind of focus on that as well. I'm also YouTube and the podcast. So everything's rolling for the Wrestling Takeover. I got plans in a pipeline. I'm just hoping they become a reality, but I just got to continue to hard work and put my head down. But I love each and every one of you guys. Thank you so much for the support. You know, this year, let me go to my Spotify podcast account and kind of check on the latest updates on what's been going on, guys. We finished with 15.2 total plays. And the followers per episode, the plays have been incredible. Over 100. And I genuinely appreciate every single person And I want every single person that is listening to my podcast right now on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, go subscribe to my YouTube channel. All right? Go subscribe to my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel, let me see real quick. Let me see where my YouTube channel is. YouTube.com/podcastJ with Jordan Turner. So subscribe to it. I will have links on social media where you guys can go subscribe to it. I'm coming in 2024, bro. I'm coming, man. And y'all gonna know who I am when it's all said and done. I love you guys. Thank you so much for a great year of 2023. And we're gonna make it even better and better. I'm going to pop out more interviews as well. I can't wait for 2024 for me to take over and just for me to showcase why I belong in this wrestling community as one of the top most reliable people in the wrestling space. This has been Jordan Turner, host of the Wrestling Takeover, the number one podcast. Let me repeat that. The number one podcast when it comes to creativity and honesty. You ain't gonna find another honest person in the community than me. And the creativity, come on, bro. I have my crown on right now. I'm him. And this is the Wrestling Takeover. Love you guys. Thank you so much.